Good morning to everybody. It's a blessing to be with you today. I'd like to welcome everybody who's here in person and also everyone who is joining us via live stream through Zoom or through YouTube. Just great to be surrounded by God's people here this morning. Today I'm going to start a series of lessons in the word that's going to describe everything that we're going to look at over the next several weeks is identity. And specifically, we're going to be looking at the identity of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I've chosen to go through this series of lessons because it seems our identity is slipping away. Some of these remarks that I'm going to make to you, you may think, well, they came up because of what's happened in the last week. I actually put this lesson together in November, way before any of the events that took place this past week. Just looking at our world, looking at us as Christians, it really seems we're struggling with identity. I'm concerned that we've lost who we are as a nation. I'm also concerned that many of us have lost who we are as individuals. Now, which phrase most accurately describes our country today? One nation under God or many factions under self? I'm afraid the latter has become the norm. What about on an individual level? Let's not look at it from a nationalistic perspective, but let's bring it down into our neighborhood, into our communities, into our house, actually behind the door that we walk through to get into our house. Let's make it that personal. What about on an individual level? Do we know who we are? I'm a person. But my identity goes beyond that. I'm also a man. I'm a spouse. But again, my identity goes beyond that. I'm a husband. I'm a parent. But you can still describe me more precisely. I'm a dad. This is who I am within what God has created for us as his people, for us as individuals living on earth. Now, this is an important comment I'm going to make, and I'm afraid it's really affecting us even here in the church. We cannot allow the extremes of society to shape our identity. Now, let me take that even a step further. We cannot allow any part of society to form who we are. Now, Paul urged the Christians at Rome to not be conformed to this world. If society forms our identity in any way, if there's any part of this world that forms who we are, then that's what's going to happen. If this world shapes our identity, if this world forms who we are, then we're going to become conformed to this world. Our identity must be formed in Christ, by Christ. Are we allowing Jesus to do this? Are we giving our Savior the room to shape who we are as a person? It seems that some Christians are more concerned about identifying themselves through a political party or through their job or through some other means rather than finding identity through Jesus Christ. Now, what is causing all of this confusion for us as a nation? And for some of us as individuals, well, consider this. When we lose sight of who Jesus is, inevitably, we will lose sight of who we are. If we don't know who Christ is, if we don't have a connection with Jesus, if we don't have true knowledge of him, then we'll always struggle with who we are as a person. And our nation will not be one nation under God. This morning, we're going to embark on an important adventure. Over the next several weeks, we are going to reintroduce ourselves to Jesus. We're going to learn who he is and what he's about. And we're not going to look at this through some humanistic descriptor of him. Everybody seems to know everything and still nothing about Jesus. We're going to allow Jesus to speak for himself. We're going to examine what Jesus says about who he is and what he is about. Now, there are certain things that we need in life to survive. There are certain relationships that can dramatically alter our lives. A closer walk with Jesus will make all of the difference. We've started a new year. We've launched into 2021. Many people are excited to leave 2020 behind and enter into this new year. It doesn't matter what year we're entering. It doesn't matter what day we are entering. If you want to make it better, if you want to make it the best, then make a choice to walk with Christ. So I want us to put our knowledge of Jesus to the test, to really look at our lives and examine if we're really walking with the Jesus that we read about in the New Testament. And more than that, I want us to put our own individual relationship with him to the test. I think we could accurately say that no one is more loved or more hated than Jesus Christ. It is impossible to just wash our hands of Jesus as Pilate tried. The name Jesus is derived from the Old Testament name Joshua, which means Yahweh. God is salvation. The title Christ, it means one chosen and anointed by God to be the Messiah who delivers God's people. Do you know Jesus? It seems like a basic question for the Christian, doesn't it? Of course we know Jesus. Does your knowledge of Jesus go beyond an elementary classroom level? Yeah, we can answer this question without pulling out our abacus, so you don't spend the rest of the sermon thinking, what is an abacus? Here's an abacus. We don't have to pull this out to figure out who Jesus is. But do we really know him? Do you know Jesus? How important is it for you to know him? Now, that's a different question. If we were given a test, basic facts, basic information about Jesus Christ, we would probably all pass. But how important is it for you to keep knowing him, to grow in your knowledge of him? In Philippians chapter 3, Paul expressed how passionate he was. And I think that word passion, it adequately describes how Paul feels. When you listen to these words from Paul, you see a man who is on fire, a man who is passionate to just know a little bit more about his Savior. As he's talking about his relationship with Christ, comparing it to who he was, what he was in the ways of Judaism, this is what he writes. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul was able to look at his life. Maybe we think, well, Paul didn't have much. He didn't have many possessions. He didn't have a lot of stuff to leave. He wasn't like the rich young ruler where he had all of these possessions, all of this wealth. It was easy for Paul to just give up all of this stuff. Don't kid yourself, it wasn't. This was his life. Everything that Paul writes about here, this was who he was before knowing Jesus. But after he got to know Christ, after Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus, Paul was able to see, I have something here that is so much better than anything else I have. You know, for most of us, we're probably more like the rich young ruler because we're so blessed physically. So blessed with stuff, so blessed with money, so blessed with possessions. But it doesn't change the truth of that statement I just made. Jesus Christ is more valuable than anything else you have. And Paul knew that. And he could write, I count all things to be loss. All of it is rubbish, all of it is trash. In view of the surpassing, now notice this word, value. It was valuable for Paul to be with Christ. It was valuable for him to know Jesus. How valuable is it for you? How important is it for you? Paul could say, everything is loss. Everything, just get rid of it. Just throw it away. If I can just know Christ Jesus, my Lord. And it wasn't all easy for Paul. He suffered the loss of all things for Christ. But everything he just counted, all the stuff in the past, it's just rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. It may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. I've left that. Judaism, it doesn't mean anything to me. Judaism cannot save me. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And again, we see this phrase, that I may know him. I want to know Jesus. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, anybody who reads this can identify how important it was for Paul to know Jesus. You can read these words, you can examine Paul's life, and everybody would say, wow, this guy was passionate about Jesus. But we're not talking about Paul this morning. Paul's not on the hot seat. You are. I am. How important is it to you to know Jesus? Roughly 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born in a manger in the town of Bethlehem. His arrival was not one of a typical king or person of importance. His mom was a poor teenage girl who faced certain ridicule because of her situation, being pregnant while yet unmarried. Jesus' earthly father was a simple carpenter named Joseph. And Jesus spent the first 30 years of his life in obscurity, swinging a hammer with his dad. At the approximate age of 30, Jesus began a public ministry that included preaching, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, befriending the outcasts, the misfits of society. The gospel writers, as you read through them, if you'll read carefully, they provide you summations, just brief statements that describe what Jesus was all about, who he was. I'm always amazed at how God can say so much with just a few short words. Consider Matthew. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. If we are going to find our identity in Jesus, we need to know who he was, what he did. During his ministry, this is what he did. In just one verse of the New Testament, one brief statement from Matthew, he summarizes everything that Jesus did in his life. This is what his life was about. These are things that we need to know. Because at some level, if we are followers of Jesus, now this just makes common sense. I'm amazed at how common sense seems to go out the window when we talk about religion. But this is just a common sense statement. If we belong to Christ and we follow Christ and we claim allegiance to Christ, then at some level, our life should reflect his life, right? That's not a bizarre statement, is it? If we are going to be a part of Christ, then we should be able to look at how he spent his time here on earth, look at our lives, and see some things line up. We can picture what a day looked like for Jesus while he worked with his earthly father. We can imagine in our minds what Jesus did helping his dad as a carpenter. I hope Jesus was able to help his dad a little more than I was able to help my dad. I would bring my dad a wrench. That was pretty much what I would do. One time my dad asked me to bring him a 3/4 inch wrench. And I was looking through my dad's garage. It was unorganized. Stuff was everywhere. Well, I found a wrench. It was a 5/8, but I looked at it. It looked like it was 6/8. I said, well, that's 3/4. So I took him what I thought was a 6/8 wrench. He just shook his head. Go back and do better, I think he said. You know, we can picture what Jesus did with his father Joseph, swinging a hammer, building stuff, working as a carpenter. This is what a day looked like for Jesus when he worked for his heavenly father, as he served God. Luke is another of the gospel writers that provides us a snapshot of Jesus' ministry. Here in Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes to Nazareth, his hometown. Surely there'll be a party, a parade. Not quite. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, now that's important, this is what Jesus typically did. This is what Matthew was writing about, preaching and teaching in the synagogues. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Just imagine Jesus right here in this setting, here in this synagogue in the city of Nazareth where he was brought up. And he has Isaiah the prophet right in front of him. And he's reading from this manuscript, from this scroll. And he opened the book and found the place where this was written. And this is what he read. Try to imagine this in your head. Jesus in the synagogue, Jesus surrounded by the religious people of the day, people who are trying to draw closer to God. And Jesus stands up and he reads this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." People would automatically know Jesus is reading from Isaiah, the great prophet, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Everybody would realize that Jesus is talking about the Messiah, the one who's going to come, the one who's going to arrive on earth and deliver his people. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. And the people, they're listening and they just can't wait. One day this guy's going to be here. One day he's going to arrive and he's going to do all of these things. He's going to be the one that proclaims a favorable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Because that's what he did. Just look at his life. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The fullness of deity dwelt in him in bodily form. He was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus, he traveled everywhere, preaching about the kingdom of heaven, telling people, urging them to repent. He restored sight to those who were blind. He set free those who were oppressed, those who were captive. And man, did he ever proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And we know where Jesus' ministry was leading him. You read Matthew chapter 4, you read Luke chapter 4. We know where it was going to end. We know the ending of the story. Jesus' ministry spanned 3 short years before he was put to death. And we know how he died, by shameful crucifixion, like tens of thousands of people before and after him. At initial glance, Jesus' resume, it's rather simple. Isn't that a way that we get to know somebody? If you're going to apply for a job, you have to get a resume together. You got to get your bio all in place. And a person looks at that, and from that resume, from that packet of information, they're able to get a picture of who you are, what you are about. Do you fit with our company? Are you able to fulfill the demands that we need you to fulfill? We look at the resume of Jesus. In some ways, it's pretty simple. He never traveled more than a few hundred miles from his home. He never held a political office. Never wrote a book. Never attended college. He never married. He never had children. Many of the things that describe us, who we are, but nevertheless, he is the most famous person in all of human history. More songs have been sung about him, more artwork created of him, more books written about him than anyone who has ever lived. Life is measured by him. We measure time by him. No army or nation or person has changed human history more than him. Has he changed you? That's the question. We read Philippians chapter 3. You want to know what a changed life looked like? Well, it's a changed mind, a changed attitude. Everything about Paul was different. More than just the changing of a name, going from Saul to Paul. His existence, now get this is big. His existence as a person here on earth changed because he got to know Jesus. And that's what I'm begging you to examine in your own life right now. Is your existence any different? What is different about your life? What has changed about you because you know this person, our Savior, Jesus Christ? We'll pick up there next week. But what I urge you to do between now and next week is reflect. Read Philippians 3 on your own. Read what Paul writes about giving up all of this stuff, about just considering it lost, considering it trash. If he can just know Jesus. And the question that I hope you'll spend some time thinking about is this: how has Jesus changed my existence? What is different about my life? How I'm living day after day because I know Jesus? Maybe you need to start your walk with him this morning. Maybe you need to put on Christ in baptism. He is our only Savior. He is our only hope. If you need to be baptized this morning, or if we can pray for you, we're family. That's what we're about, to help each other, to encourage each other. If we can help you by praying for you this morning, we invite you to come as we stand.